This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. The pressure valve has been released, so to speak, around a racial controversy among sororities at the University of Alabama. The student newspaper there detailed allegations earlier this month that sorority members were prevented from voting on accepting potential recruits because they were black. Since the dust-up, at least 11 black women have been granted bids, and while aspects of this controversy still linger, AL.com and Birmingham News columnist John Archibald is ready to assign some grades, and he joins us now, as he does most Thursdays. John, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andrew.
Well, let's go through some of the parties involved in this Alabama sorority dispute. Let's start with the administration and university president, Judy Bonner.
What kind of grades for the president? Well, you know, people have reminded me over and over that results matter at the end. But bottom line is her words throughout this thing have flip-flopped quite a bit and waffled. And she has spoken so often of the perceived racism that she has sort of diminished the real racism that has been going on down there. So in my big grade book, she gets a fail.
Okay, so we have a fail for President Judy Bonner. What about the faculty?
The faculty has stepped up quite well. They've marched with students, written to administration, urged change, held task forces, been supportive. I think that they are a clear pass.
Well, what about alumni then?
Well, as an alumni,
yes.
I would have to say the ultimate fail. As you mentioned, you know, when black students tried to get into sororities, it wasn't the students that barred them. Students were willing and ready to discuss and invite black members, but it was for alumni advisors that said, no, we don't do that around here. That is the ultimate fail. If they had not done that, sororities would have integrated. We would never have heard a peep about it.
Well, also, let's talk about students as well.
I mean, students are the real catalyst in this whole thing. It was several white members of sororities who stood up and allowed their name to be attached to these things to say this is wrong, who pointed out the alumni errors. It was the student newspaper that really did a fine journalistic job doing it. It was student groups who marched in protest and students who ultimately integrated the sororities and began the step, hopefully, that will integrate the whole Greek system. They get the biggest, best grade of all.
So we have a couple passes, a couple fails, but let me ask about kind of how Alabama is being graded in real life, because this controversy got picked up by national media. You had a lot of criticism given the state's history, but you look at a lot of college Greek systems, not just here in the South, it doesn't look different. They're not integrated. I mean, is Alabama being unfairly singled out?
Well, Alabama is what Alabama is, and it will always be seen in a negative light where race relations are concerned. So, yes, there will be some deserved national embarrassment about that. But from my view, you know, when you see students inside saying it is time to make change, that is a positive message not only to Alabama but to the world. So, in the end, I think it looks pretty good.
Well, you know the adage that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Well, John here is hoping for a little bit of repeated history from Birmingham's early days. So before we go any further, Professor Archibald, give us this give us this lesson about Lou Wooster, this figure from Birmingham's early history.
Well, Lou Wooster was a prominent madam in the 19th century. And after Birmingham was born, there was one of the cholera epidemics that swept through. And I always thought it was a wonderfully biblical story because all the respectable people left town to protect themselves and their families from this epidemic. And Lou Wooster stayed behind and with some of her girls tended to the sick and buried the dead. And some credit her with saving the city. And I always thought that we could learn some lessons from Lou.
Well, you think that Hoover could learn a few lessons from Lou Wooster, needs a few Lou Woosters. Why is that?
Well, Hoover is coming to a crossroads, really, in a number of different ways. It's it's a city that boomed in much the way Birmingham did, not quite to the level, but they based their city on retail sales, and they've been recently facing competition from all sides. Their schools have pretty much maxed out their revenue capabilities. And maybe bigger than anything, they're seeing a change in demographics in that school system that has caused them to rethink a number of things. I mean, black students have increased dramatically in the last few years. Hispanic students have increased, and the white student population is beginning to shift. So they're coming to a point where, in the past, a lot of people have run away from those kind of numbers, and Hoover has to deal with that in a 21st century way.
Well, you're right that Hoover needs a Lew Wooster to hold it together, but you know, fighting a disease is one thing. When you look at retail sales, schools, demographic shifts, I guess if you want to call it a threat, you know, they're not exactly the same kind of threats.
No, not at all. No, but they're the similarity is that somebody has got to stand against the panic, right? That the panic in the past would be to leave, to go to where the farther out you can go, and Hoover still has quite a bit to offer for those who can stay and tend to the problems in adult and realistic ways.
Just a brief moment left, but what does a modern Lew Wooster look like then?
Lord, it looks like you or me. It looks like anybody. It looks like it's not our leaders. It is the people who can make a difference.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Birmingham News and AL.com. You can read his column Wednesday, Friday, Sundays, and anytime online. John, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.